Christian Podcast. What's up, doofuses? Welcome back to the Bad Christian Podcast. I guess we figured that if we started a Christian podcast and then cussed on it, we'd sell way more tickets to our Screamo band's concerts. And guess what? Everything's going according to plan. And it's funny how it works out that way. Our band Emory, mine and Toby's band Emory, has dates in Texas and out west in August. So go to emorymusic.com. That is who the show is brought to you by today, Emory the band. So go to emorymusic.com and check out those tour dates. On the podcast today, we're going to talk a little bit about climate change. That's kind of what we get into, and some related topics to that. So get into it. Here we go.
Oh, hell yeah. God showed up. I don't give a shit what I put in my body.
You don't ever fucking talk to me that way.
So if you've never done oral, then you're extrovert.
No, girl. It's my flesh.
I showed my dad my penis when I was 25 years old. You don't get more honest than that.
3, 2, 1, hit it.
Bad Christian Podcast, we the baddest podcast. Bad Christian Podcast, we the baddest podcast.
I cannot believe how much better that is in person when y'all sync. And that was actually the time where I felt like, holy shit, the beat dropped.
That bass.
It was
that pastor
real
bass.
Yeah. Pastor lungs, authoritative, great. All right. What's going on, fellas, today?
Oh, you know, just another day in Nashville, man. Another day in Nashville.
This city is one of the craziest places I have ever seen. It has grown so much in the last 10 years. I cannot believe it. Nashville, Seattle, and Dallas.
Well, you were talking about it today like there was hipsters here. I felt like
it was overrun with hipsters.
You were kind of whiffing your nose at us.
I don't like them.
Like, you know hipsters because you're from Seattle.
That's exactly right. That's exactly my point.
I know hipsters in this place.
Yeah, I've been to Capitol Hill where Josh Head and all the bullshit up there, and I come to Nashville and it's even worse. That's exactly my point of view. And you know what? These people all work in the service industry, and they are moochers on the system. They move to an area like stray cats that you feed.
Sounds very old. It sounds super old.
They're stray cats. They treat you, hipsters give you serve. They work in the service industry. They live on tips of rich people that go out to the fancy-ass places.
Yep.
And they live off your tips like you get put a bowl of milk out for a cat. And they're rude as hell.
Yeah.
And they thrive on our scraps. And they have the nicer shit than you or I do. You always say Josh is richer than you, right?
Josh is totally richer than me, and so is Reva.
Right.
Reva just moved here, and she's one of these hipsters. I know. I mean, Reva went and played kickball. And I'm like, you think, when's the last time y'all got to go play kickball?
I had to get prior written consent to go hit a bucket of balls at the driving range.
Oh.
Hold up. Are you saying you think kickball is hipster?
I'm saying
it's very hipster.
Yeah, very hipster.
Of course it is.
Okay, it's all like bros.
It's extremely.
Still, and I had to plan 3 weeks and on a Saturday morning play kickball. Like, it took intense planning.
Okay, so you're saying the luxury is
you have
hipster.
DSLR camera lenses and fixie body. You have
recreation equipment. On the kickball.
They have all this equipment. They have more disposable income, and it's all just leeching.
Well, that's just being young and single and stuff. That has nothing.
I mean, you just have disposable income. Unbelievable. Even if you don't have income, you have just disposable
income. I'm just saying the ones
somehow that
work in the service industry and all
service. Very responsible with money.
No, you should enjoy it. I'm just saying, good for you. Bad for us. Good for all the young hip people.
That's such a demeaning thing to say. Good for you.
Good for
Reva.
You. Have fun. Go backpack around Europe for 3 months.
Hey, you enjoyed the single professional.
It's like
life.
It's
good
like Portlandia
you.
Is the good same thing. They say it's where young people go to retire. That's what I'm saying. Nashville is unbelievably blown up. Dallas the same way. Seattle's the same way.
You know,
these cities have grown.
What's really funny about this, the way we're talking about this, I noticed this the other day that my age limit for who I call kids has gone up.
Oh, of course.
Now, I promise you, the other day, I saw a guy at a bar, so he had to be at least 21. I was like, that kid thinks this. And I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, it's a man at a bar.
I know, that's a man in a bar. I was like, that kid over there is whatever. I don't even remember what was happening, but I thought of him as a kid, and I was like, that is a man of at least 20. He can serve
He's
our country.
Real man.
He can buy porn, cigarettes, alcohol, anything. And I thought, total kid. And that's the way I'm getting that to that. I mean, it's not going to get better. I mean, is there a point
I'm
where
I'm not
like,
just crashing on young people, just hipsters. I'm going to limit my thing there.
I have to crash on young people too. I can't even take it. Like, is that what happens as you get older? Who you think is kids? Because
of course,
grandparents think of even
whippersnappers. Yeah.
My dad still thinks of me as—I mean, he thinks of me as adult, but kind of like still. I mean, maybe that's because as a kid, I was his actual kid. But I mean, one day maybe I literally think a 50-year-old.
I've had the opposite thing. This is true. My dad's in the construction, grading, earth, dirt moving, world. That was his job and his company they always had that I did not go into. I said sorry, I don't want to take family business. I'm gonna go do something else. And I always was like the boss's dumb idiot kid, he wouldn't let me near equipment when I wanted to when I was younger and all this kind of stuff like that. My dad's telling me about this guy he does business with a few years ago and how he respects him and how he does it so well. And it's just like this man in the construction industry that my dad, I can just tell he respects him, whatever. The guy was in my class in high school. I was like, what the hell? I couldn't believe it.
This man is smart and honorable and strong.
And he has this company and these dozers. And I was just like, oh. Like, my dad can have respect for him. Like, he didn't think of him as a kid. He's like a peer. I mean, he's a kid from high school. He's into heavy equipment.
It is a common occurrence for me to actually be talking to someone and for me to have them written off like they're a good bit older than me. And I actually have to remind myself, wait a second, I'm a good bit older than them.
Right.
Right.
Like, it's not even we're close in age. It's like, wait a second, I'm the old person here and I'm looking right at them. I mean, I am that naive to my age. I mean, it's just crazy.
Are either your parents, like your dads, did they really wish that you went into their job, career?
My dad was really, really
good. Your dad didn't care if you were an engineer?
Yeah. My dad's civil engineer also. But
if he did,
he never mentioned it. Never said, hey, this could be a good career. My dad always thought doing music, I should definitely have worked my 40 hours and got the money and all that stuff. Like, he definitely thought what I did.
My dad's basically a hero for having a big, successful business and allowing me to, not negging me about it and
not doing anything,
being supportive. I mean, it's almost too much. It's the kind of thing that makes me cry if I think about my parents and them just saying, allow, they weren't negative about me moving to Seattle to do an emo band. I had two songs. I mean, so they deserve big.
Exactly what you think somebody would say. My dad said,
right.
He did. He was very negative. He did not. He was not supportive.
I mean, you
of
can see
choices.
Why they would be if you're talking about moving your kid moving away and doing all stupid shit.
Fast forward 20 years. Does your dad think that you're lucky? Does he think that you actually did pull it off?
That's a good question.
Like, what does he think about you now?
My dad think I'm lucky? You know what? I've never said that word before. When thinking about my dad and me, you might be right. My dad might actually think I got lucky.
Yeah.
Like, everything he did was stupid, whatever, but he just lucked up. Well, I didn't ever have luck, but my son somehow lucked up. Like,
you don't really deserve it or earned it or like, you didn't really know it would work out.
I think what my dad thinks is, lots of people sing and write songs. How'd you get?
You just
there?
Got love. Well, that's a common thing.
So
to think about successful people.
How big Emory is or was? Does he grasp that?
I mean, I don't know. That's a good question. The only time he ever, he's only been to one show, and that was an acoustic set. And then the only time he's really ever asked me about my band. So every once in a while, I go, "You on the road?" But he never talks about the band. And what's really funny is when he talks about like y'all. He goes, "What's that? What's that pastor guy that's down in Charleston? What's his name?" And I say, Joey. He's got all them kids, doesn't he? That's what he always says about Joey. Go, that tall one, I know him. And then what's the one that lives in Illinois? And I'll go, Devin. He's like, yeah, that Devin. He still has family around here. And he'll talk like that. But he doesn't. The only time he ever really cared was we got our song on Prison Break commercial. And that was the one where he was like, hey. What was really funny about that? He's like, listen. Your aunts told me that you were on this thing. He would have had no clue if it was our song or anything, but my aunts and uncles heard it and somehow made the connection that it was an Emory song, and so that's how he found out. But I've never thought about that before. He probably does think, man, he got lucky. He did it all wrong and just lucked out.
Yeah, that's common way people think of successful people. Like, well,
right.
I do comedy.
Well, some of it, sometimes it's true.
Just got lucky.
I even believe it a little bit. Oh, like, we were the right time and stuff like that, we put ourselves in the position to be in all those things and worked hard, of course, and did write good music and all that.
Any professional athlete, for example, would admit to win a championship, you got to put your blood, sweat, and tears, and you got to have some luck.
Yeah, lucky might get you some opportunities to at bats.
Joey, your chosen profession, like you were a teacher and a pastor, are both like just so honorable. Your parents couldn't ever be. You know what I mean? Like, my son's a pastor.
What else could you be more proud of?
And then you ruined your legacy by doing this. One thing that I am super optimistic is that will never go away is great music, my friends. And that is why we work with Tooth & Nail Records. We've been friends and co-workers for a very long time. And we love that we get to hear music from their bands and just get to talk to this label. It's awesome. So you are listening right now to Northern Fires. It's the newest single from Silent Planet.
Of the anxious state, but the myth they propagate. The narrative never fits the crime. The monks who died these deaths a thousand times. The masses kneel before their golden cross. Held by the priest who bows at the feet of the god. We hid the Lord in the dust of what could be. Fighting to find our humanity.
All right, so like I said, you were just listening to Northern Fires, and that's the newest single from Silent Planet. This is the first of a lot of new music to come this year, folks. I'm serious. They are headlining a tour this summer with my epic comrades and Tiger Wine. I mean, what a great tour. I know all those bands. It's kind of wild. So watch for them to be coming through your town in July. Silent Planet will also be touring in New Zealand, which I've never got to go to.
That's bullshit.
I know. You know what? Screw Silent. No, okay. I do like them. They're cool. Actually, Garrett's probably going to be coming on the podcast soon, too. They're going to be in New Zealand and Australia in August, so make sure you check them out and see where they'll be playing near you. Head over to Spotify, Apple Music, and wherever you can stream or buy music. Listen to Northern Fires right now. That's obviously from Silent Planet. So also on Spotify and Apple Music, make sure you follow Silent Planet, their profile, so that you don't miss any new music that's on the way.
Well, I also consider myself a teacher. That's not actually true. I don't have super high regard.
You probably
for
do
term.
Think of yourself as a. You think, I'm. You know what you think? I'm of not. I don't want to get educator.
Into this. Yeah, I want to help people learn things.
Okay. You're an informant.
I like learning and other people to learn. But I think, and I'm not going to do this episode. I want to do it on another one. But I do think the focus should be on the learning, not the teaching. When you talk about. That's, you know,
that's
anyway.
It's tough because people can't learn unless it's decent teaching.
No, okay, just don't bait me into anything. But if you want to call this episode something honorable, we'll just title this episode based on this science segment coming up. We'll call it Matt Saves the World. Could we do that?
Oh, man.
That gives you a grip of how I think of myself.
Kind of low-key title.
Yeah, right here. Yeah. All right. I'm going to save the world by trying to do a little bit of science with people, and then we'll have a discussion about it after that. But I'm going to try to make this science segment a nice, tight 10 minutes, and then we'll discuss it as freely as we can after that and all that stuff. And it's going to be on climate change. Here we go.
Astrophysics, chemistry, cellular biology, mathematics, gravitation, electromagnetism, evolution. And now, it's time for Science Lessons for Christians. Because when it comes to science, Christians are stupid.
Okay. First thing we got to do is just clear the air here. Do we have any climate deniers in the room?
I did for a long time just because it came along with my Republican identity.
Okay.
Like people know that it traces back to 04. I would have been depressed if Bush lost. I think I was a secret McCain supporter when he ran against Obama.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Republican Party, you're just like, oh, that Al Gore is full of shit. He doesn't mm-hmm. know what he's talking about. So I saw it all as like this ploy of, you know, Christians are bad people and they don't care about the environment, but we do and we know all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. So, yes, for a while. And then it got to the point I was like, whoa, wait a second. There's too many smart people that are really regarding this as something serious. It can't just be made out of thin air. And now I will certainly claim ignorance. I don't know enough about it.
Cool.
And
well, I'm going to prep you up. How about you, Toby?
And I feel that if there is a problem, I don't know what I can do.
Okay, great answer, Toby.
You know what's funny? I think I agree too. I always thought of it as a political issue. Like it was just a platform. So I do believe that there is climate change, 100%. I do think that is true. I think that's scientific. I think that we do have an impact. I don't think the human footprint, carbon footprint, stuff like that is necessarily possibly. I might be wrong, and I'm open to listening to differences. I don't know if it's as bad as what they make people sound like.
So if that's true, y'all have opinions about climate change.
And you voted for Trump.
I was going to give a definition, but y'all seem to, if you have an opinion about climate change, why don't you go ahead? What is it? What's the definition?
My opinion of climate change is that...
What do you think the definition is?
It's interesting because the other reason why it weirds me out is because it used to be called global warming and then they rebranded it to climate change because that's more accurate.
All right, so what does climate change mean if you're going to approve or deny it or affirm it? Whatever. What is it?
If I had to say the simplest thing, that what everybody kind of thinks is humans are killing our planet and animals.
All right. You got a definite working definition?
Yeah, the temperature goes up and melts the polar ice caps, and then we lose a lot of land. Okay.
Well, let's get more specific. People should have a good definition of a thing and agree on what it is before they decide if they agree about it.
There is no good climate change, though, from our answers. Like that, we don't think of it as there's nothing good about climate change.
Okay. So climate change is kind of a catch-all term for a shift in worldwide weather phenomenon, and it is real, and it has been on the rise for decades since maybe the Industrial Revolution.
So when you
Revolution.
Say it's real, it is not a theory and test.
No, well, look,
a validated scientific discovery.
We're 1 degree warmer since the Industrial Revolution. So it's been on the rise for about 100 and something years, and the global temperatures are about a degree higher as of right now. Okay, so NASA has a definition of it, and they say that it's a broad range of phenomena created mainly by fossil fuels and heat-trapped gases. And there is more than that. It's not the word-for-word definition. So if you want to think about what it actually is that we're talking about in climate change, we're talking about all the effects related to greenhouse gases accumulating in our atmosphere. Greenhouse gases being CO2, the biggest one we talk about, NO2, nitrous oxide is one, and methane. All of those things are greenhouse gases. And do you understand, have any guess on how that, what that process is, what greenhouse means, or how that affects temperature?
The greenhouse effect?
What is the greenhouse effect?
Well, it originated by, I think it was a scientist in Luxembourg.
Okay. I'll just tell you what it is. So the water vapor is all up in the air there, and it traps in some heat, basically. So the sunlight radiation comes into Earth, it bounces back, and then it becomes trapped in there by things like water vapor and other gases.
Right.
Now, CO2, nitrous, and methane dissipate slower and hold in more.
And it's so tearing holes into
No, I'm not talking about ozone specifically or anything. Just in general, those three gases, they dissipate less than water vapor, H2O, CO2, two, and...
They linger up there.
CH4 is methane, I think. But they linger up there longer. And we're, you
lingering
know...
like the cranberries.
Okay, so then it traps in more heat and temperatures rise. And there's
On a side note, as you're saying that, my dad, when anybody ever farted, would sing that song, and we're talking about methane. You have to let it linger.
Yeah, and that's why other people talk about, methane reserves in the ice caps. There's a bunch of methane in there. Cow farts are methane.
Right.
Cow farts.
Yeah. But CO2 being the one that, whatever. Okay. So here's the one we're really talking about, though. Anthropogenic. Anybody have any?
I have no idea.
That means human caused. Remains.
That sounds human like the new Chris Pratt movie.
Anthropogenic means that human caused.
Yeah.
Climate change.
Okay.
Factories and stuff that's being
human caused is anthropogenic, just like anthropomorphic. If you try to say those headphones wish that they were on my ears, you're trying to make them into a person. You know, when you anthropomorphize something. Anyway, anthropogenic climate change specifically is the type that we're all fighting about now politically and all that bullshit. Okay. So we understand what...
So you think all this is bullshit?
I think the political fighting about it is bullshit. Okay. Yes, and I'll clear that up when we get there. So the broad range of phenomena that NASA's talking about here is increased temperature, sea level rise, extreme weather of any type, caused by it, melting ice and a shifts in the behaviors of plants and flowers, agriculture.
Real quick, because I don't know if this is going to come up or not, but when we talk about the dangers of all this, what are we talking? Are we talking 2100, 2200? We're talking 2030?
Like, well, let's talk about the things that can happen. Well, some real
danger.
I live
in Charleston.
Well, there's some real danger right now. I mean, we're like I said, we're a degree hotter. A lot of polar ice is melting, all that kind of stuff. So the things we're worried about are droughts, snowstorm, extreme weather, warming oceans, extinction of animals.
Horrible.
These are bad.
And these all things will happen if the temperature of the earth rises. These are certainties that nobody disputes.
I don't know if you're gonna say this in a minute. Is there a certain temperature where it's like, oh God?
Yep, almost there. Okay. So the Amazon rainforest is receding. The Arctic ice could be. Here's one specific.
I got to point something out. He's coming from a science perspective, and this is how Toby and I talk. I mean, is there going to be a temperature where people are like, oh God?
Well, you can tell.
People cry out to God at a temperature. When will people pray?
Well, this is the only specific one I've got here. The Arctic ice cap, this might be an aggressive prediction, but the Arctic ice caps could. No, the Arctic Ocean itself has icebergs and a bunch of ice floating in it. In September of 2030, September is the hottest month with the highest temperatures, it's possible that in 2030 or later, continuing the way we're at, there won't be any ice for that 1 month the Arctic Ocean.
Dang.
Now, that's either a good or right or wrong projection. It may be later. It may not quite happen.
Wait, there will be no ice in the Arctic Ocean? Right.
And then in October, November, there'll be some ice. We'll refreeze. But the hottest month, the temperatures could reach above freezing to where there's not even any ice up there during that time.
That so would
these
be,
are,
yeah,
and then
be,
there's a, the yeah. sea level. Right? These are all in, they all are interconnected.
Right.
And I'm sorry, I'm talking fast. Got a lot of material, so I'm gonna keep on going.
I'm enjoying
it. We've gone up about 1 degree since the Industrial Revolution.
Yeah.
The goal of people who want to fix the climate change problem is to keep that to 1.5 degrees. They want to reduce emissions, blah, 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 all this crap you hear about, that we can limit it to 1.5 degrees in rise. And they make
calculations. Per what?
We've gone up, like I said, 1 degree since the Industrial Revolution.
Right, but I don't understand.
And now we want to do whatever efforts we can by reduction and restrictions and blah, 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 to try to limit that so it doesn't go above 1.5.
Okay, for good.
Yeah,
forever.
I guess, but this is where we run into problems. Okay, so anthropomorphic. Okay, so let's go back and give a little perspective on climate and the Earth.
Okay.
So the Earth, 3 billion years ago, for instance, had no oxygen at all. We didn't even have oxygen. And 4 billion years ago was just hot lava rocks was the surface of the Earth. It wasn't dirt, wasn't anything breathable.
So you
nothing
said 4
like
billion,
that.
Hot rock, 3 billion, no oxygen.
But there was some life on Earth living. Bacterial life and small things. There was no oxygen. Temperatures were nowhere close. Yeah, temperatures were nowhere close to ours or anything. There's been tons of ice ages. We know there's times when
tons of ice ages.
Bunches of ice ages.
Wow.
There's been tons of ice. The Earth is like this crazy,
what's
out
all
of
that
control
ice age talk.
So there's been times in the Earth's history where CO2 levels were 100 times higher than they are now. Or maybe even 1,000 times higher than they are now.
Right.
It's just things happen.
With no humans.
Yeah. with no humans, right. Yeah, so anthropogenic is a part of it.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. It's measured since the Industrial Revolution. Yeah. But also, if you keep into perspective, there's no chance of the climate staying the same.
Right.
And it wasn't born this way or meant. There's no meant to be about Earth's climate is the point I'm trying to make here. It's just we need it to be a certain way to survive. That's a fact.
Right.
There's many, all these other ones I'm describing, we're instantly dead.
Right.
So we want it to stay the way it happens to be right now.
Yep.
That is true.
And everybody, the Earth was fine being way hotter back then.
Yeah, and there's life on it.
The only people that care about it, right. Okay.
So it's just kind of whatever. I mean, and currently some people call the time that we live in now kind of an ice house world. Like we're in a very cool time of the Earth's total history.
Wow.
Basically. So even regression toward the mean, I mean, the Earth's climate is not going to stay the same in a few hundred years or a few million years. It's not going to stay the same anyway. So
how long have we been in a cooler house?
I don't know. I mean,
500, 1,000?
Well, it got cold. I mean, I'm not going to go into that. We're going to move faster. But also, I don't know the answers. Let me admit that.
Okay.
But then the things that change this stuff is the reflectiveness of the atmosphere, plate tectonics, solar energy can be super ramped up for periods of time, and radiation, weathering of the rocks breaking down.
Yeah.
There's other stuff called outgassing, where gas was released from different layers, and impacts from asteroids. All these things have unbelievable, massive shifts, cause massive shifts in climate that would extinct us for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, there's plenty of ways that we can. Now, I'm going to put a pin in this, and we'll come back to it for discussion. So I'm going to skip a whole page of notes here.
Nice.
There has been I want to come back and point to some bad science of the past. Okay. For instance, in the 70s, they had a bunch of people talking about the Earth was overpopulated and we're all going to die. It's a doomsday, this, and Earth's going to cool off because of our industrial practices.
Right. In the 70s,
right.
And America?
I want to come back to this because it's very interesting, but I cannot do it quickly. So I'm going to come back to that. But human pessimism about how we're destroying the eco movement starting in the 70s.
Oh, was that the hippie?
Yeah, it came out of some of that kind of stuff. Yeah. That I find very treacherous. And after this segment here in a second, I want to talk about that.
While they were destroying the temple of the Holy Spirit with drugs, they're right. Blaming all of us for destroying the earth.
And so then we get into this language of sustainability. You've heard that word?
Yes.
Okay, well, yes. I'm going to come back to this. But remember what I said this. What is the definition of sustainable? Would it be sustain?
Something that can be kept
sustain.
Up.
How about to prevent from changing?
Yeah.
Sustain.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this definition of sustain? And this is where I want to head. To provide what is needed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sustenance.
To provide what is needed is a definition of. Remember, I said that. Also, keep things exactly the same is sustain. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, what I want to point out, there's a bunch of there is some real messed up stuff that goes. But so far, we spent trillions of dollars in reduction efforts and unbelievable amount of energy from people like you and me and people fighting on Twitter. Like, think about everybody's energy about climate change. Trillions of dollars. And this is based on computer simulations of projections that supercomputers make, projections. And then after they make those projections, now economists and scientists go in and try to interpret that and figure out what are the implications of the possible simulations. So can you see how that starts to get out of whack pretty fast? We're taking simulations from the best computers we have and then handing it to people to interpret and figure out what the implications might be.
Yeah.
So do we really know? Not near as much as you would think. You really don't know. And like I said, in the 70s, we thought cooling and population were going to extinct us. And all the same voices would have been all over that you and your consumption and your cars and you have to have the new TVs and you're going to ruin the Mother Earth. And they were just totally wrong about that, of course. But that's a mentality
to recognize. Feel free not to go into this in such depth, but how many people make those accusations and are not hypocritical? Like, are there anybody that not only says you guys are consumers and killing the earth, but they also do the right thing according
Pin
to their beliefs?
Just so I can, for time. And now I'm going to tell you, instead of reduce, what I'm going to suggest here is the solution we need is progress, technology, ability to solve problems, and fix stuff. Restricting stuff, beating ourselves up, feeling guilty about it, trying to prove who's the bad guy, that is not going to solve any problems. We have lots of problems, including asteroids and climate change. It's a big problem.
Right.
It'll extinct us. Eventually, we're going to have to get off of this rock and go populate outer space, from my view. So we're going to have to change the climate a bunch of times and survive a lot of stuff that we have no ability yet. So we need to focus on our new abilities to deal with new problems.
And when you think of humanity, do you think a good millions of years? Like, do you feel
maybe
like
I think populate the cosmos and infinity with humans is what I think. Oh. Or human mind, like, I don't know.
So we're going to figure out how to exist.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we might not.
So that means
I don't know if we will. But that's our goal.
For that to happen, though, we've got to get somewhere else before a big asteroid clobbers.
Yeah. I mean, a few million years we'll need to be off of this rock, if not even a few hundred years. We don't know. But these are our projects as, you know, humans on Earth. Anyway, geoengineering. So I'm going to give you a few solutions that are better than you not feeling guilty if you fly on a plane next week.
Right.
Okay, that stuff is nonsense to me. You're not gonna fix everything by restricting everybody.
Right.
I don't like that. That's just not how you solve problems. It's how you, I don't know what, but it's not good. What we need is, for instance, nuclear power would be good. That would reduce a lot. Yeah. The waste is not even that dangerous, relatively speaking, to erupting the climate to where we can't live here anymore. Yeah. So how about a few nuclear waste dumps unless maybe perfect that technology and do fusion so there's no waste.
Right.
Why don't we just spend trillions on that?
Right.
Okay. We could seed clouds or even launch satellites into space that are honestly a giant series of programmable mirrors that could reflect. If we could reflect 8% of the sun's light, that would completely counteract all projections of climate change. So why aren't we working on that? Okay. Wow. How about phytoplankton that can absorb CO2 in the ocean? There's billions of tons of phytoplankton that we could encourage to or re-engineer genetically to absorb more CO2. That would do it. They can do a thing where they put iron in the ocean. It's called ocean fertilization, and it helps that process. It's known about. It's not efficient yet or cost effective, but these are the kinds of things we could take carbon and store it at the bottom of the ocean. We can capture it, weigh it down, and store it at the bottom of the ocean. These are things we can do in small amounts, and they're not cost prohibitive at this point. But the point is, if you were to go all the way back to Easter Island, where that species went extinct a long time ago, it wasn't because they didn't have enough resources. That's what happened. They ran out of resources.
Yeah.
They deforested it. They destroyed the island to make monuments and all that bullshit. And they depleted all their fishing.
Right.
But there wasn't a lack of resources on Easter Island. It was a lack of knowledge on Easter Island. If they'd have known how to do this or trade or make this or not cut down all the forest or reseed the forest, if they'd have known, if people went there now and tried to live on Easter Island, it's completely sustainable.
Right.
But they didn't know how. Yeah. So what we need to do is be able to solve problems that we cannot yet solve.
Yeah.
Not police everybody. That's just not, it's not going to get the job done anyway. It's climate's going to keep, what we need to do is learn how to control the climate of the earth.
Oh, I know.
And then move to Mars.
Right.
This is the kind of stuff we have to do if you want to survive as a species.
Right.
So that's,
well, you're right. It's very limited. Like if you're just thinking, oh, if everybody's going to spend all their resources on just reducing this thing, meaning you stay the same, except for you just do it less, that doesn't seem sustainable to me. Mm-hmm. And you're right. It's looking at a very small segment of what could be.
Yep. And I'm gonna wrap a science segment, and we can talk freely. That's all information. I have more. This thing I'm gonna bring up here. But thank you. We're gonna get off this rock eventually, and we're gonna learn to make actual progress in every area and solve problems.
Can we talk more about this?
And that is Matt Saves the World.
I want to talk more about this.
Yeah. Now we got. I just didn't want the science segment to run long and be a monologue forever. So I wanted to get through the informational bits.
I get it.
And now we can discuss it all.
So
I get it.
So with the big stuff that you're talking about, Matt, the hydroplankton at the bottom of the ocean.
Phytoplankton
and all of that. Are you...
What did you call it?
Hydroplankton, he said.
Are you saying indirectly that there's nothing that Matt Carter can really do about it unless you get into the field of actually being engaged doing that stuff?
I'm just saying
as an individual, can we do something? Can we be more responsible as citizens?
Yeah. But by fostering communities of research and development and progress and technology.
How do I do that?
Have a good attitude about it. Support it. Give to stuff. You can, people that like to vote can vote to fund things. I mean, that, you know, it's a first of all, acceptance that we got massive problems to solve or we'll become extinct eventually. Well, how about we just acknowledge that and then say, like, don't we want to just work together? Like, when is the moment going to be that humans go, oh, we have problems to solve? Now, I'm saying the right and the left, right now, both of them want to restrict your ass and control your behavior, prove the other one's wrong, and neither one of them is going to help shit. That's what we're stuck on right now as a civilization.
Like, I keep hearing this thing that has been happening, like, each country is going to get carbon credits, and if you
that's nonsense. That's not how you solve problems. Right. You're just trying to restrict people. That's the bad. So I'll go back to the definition of sustainable. Keep everything the same. Well, but that's not sustainable, by the way, because then you're on a clock to run out of resources for sure.
And it's limiting our experience as if, oh, that's all we have, or this is all we do, and the carbon thing's the only thing.
Right.
And there's nothing else you can do or anything like that. Like, I just read an article I thought was super interesting. You know, everybody says water bottles are the worst. They're terrible. Plastic is just awful. It never degrades or anything like that. Just found, because people are studying stuff, there are grub worms that eat plastic, and it does degrade in their stomach and everything. Like, you could drop all these grub worms.
Nanotechnology go eat that plastic out in the ocean. All we got to just develop it.
How about this? So
fix it.
I do want to make it clear. I think we should be good stewards. Like, we'll take it to the biblical side, Joey, maybe here. You and I will. But the idea of not being a good steward, like, we've talked about recycling. We talked about all this stuff. I do want to do good, though. I don't care that my car runs on fossil fuel. I wish it didn't. You know what I mean? Like, if that's bad, I never thought it was that great. I never thought burning something in your car in any instance was the best way to do it. Now, I have no ways intelligently to create something new, but somebody does. And you're right. What do you think? That is my biggest problem with climate change or whatever. seems politicized.
It
and
is.
Money goes it's to where problem. You can make more money. There is a real correlation. It's not a coincidence that Al Gore, after leaving office, became the richest post-presidency, vice-presidency person in the world.
Like, but don't focus on that. Let's just look,
I think he's a billionaire.
They're bad. They're bad on both sides of that.
Inconvenient Truth gave him that money.
And yeah, all it, this people is a pay him to come
huge
speak.
Industry yeah, after huge, that. Yeah. So the things that are bad are threats to us in this regard are human pessimism, which I want right. to talk about. That it's just it's a disgusting mindset to me. And then I had to tell the truth that capitalism, which I like in a general way, I'd like to defend, is a big problem here because it's a kick the can. It's somebody else's problem. It's another generation. I mean, right. You're not thinking about – you've got to think about – zoom all the way out with me and think about humans and the human consciousness and the cosmos for and where that's supposed to be and how important that is versus turning everything off. Now, people criticize Christians, of course, on the right. They don't care. They think it's no eternal mindset. That's a terrible mindset. Like, well, we'll be out of here anyway, or God will never let a bad thing happen. You can't. That's nonsense. You can't think that way. It's not true. It's not true.
In a Christian's defense, because I agree with you, and I do not think it's good to have a apathetic attitude towards the earth, but I don't think it's simply don't care about the earth. It is, wow, if eternal lives are at stake, then this is way more important than anything else, and I would rather focus our attention on people and not worry about everything else. I just think that that is worth saying. I don't think it's – I do think there's a handful of Christians. They're just like, who cares about the earth? And it's misguided, but I think there's some people it's just – that's just not their emphasis. I don't think that makes them bad people. I agree with taking care of the earth. I actually think it's part of our Christian faith.
But I'm just saying, remember that the earth's climate and the sustainability, and okay, let's just look at another one. Existential threat in general. Nuclear war would be kind of bad. I don't think it would extinct us, honestly. I'm not actually that worried about that one. Asteroid impact, very serious. It will eventually kill most people. That's going to happen unless we figure out how to deflect asteroids.
Right, here's where
but
I'm,
maybe we got a few hundred years on that. We'll probably figure it out.
Here's where I'm the asshole. Who cares if we get extinct? Who cares? Nobody's going to care.
I don't understand that point of view at all. What if
understand.
It was tomorrow? You wouldn't care? You don't think people would care if they found out we're over tomorrow? Is that a non-care because it's far off?
All I know is nobody's going to care.
So you think it's no tragedy for the cosmos to be empty for all eternity with no conscious beings? You don't think that's tragic at all?
I'd say it's a worthy endeavor to keep that from happening, but I'm not worried about it. If I knew tomorrow a big asteroid is going to obliterate our Earth and humanity,
you may
gone,
be able to make your peace with it, but it's not in. It's not like or we could avoid it. You'd have a vote, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you have a preference? Don't you have a preference?
Yeah, my preference would be for humanity.
Consciousness from the entire cosmos forever.
You've seen Jurassic Park. Life finds a way.
Or not. That's what I'm just saying. Like you can say, well, there's nothing I can do about it. And I understand that's a good response to a massive sounding problem. But if you have a preference, wouldn't it be maybe not extinct all of consciousness from the cosmos for eternity?
I'm just saying, I personally, okay.
I challenge that attitude.
That's fine.
Because I think you have a preference for existence of humans versus not.
If no human exists, then nobody's
going to
care.
That's a fine philosophical thing, but then you can kill yourself just the same, and who cares? It doesn't matter to you, right? I agree. Who cares?
I guess I would put it on the same. By the way, these peanut M&Ms are so fresh.
Oh, my God.
They are just crunchy.
There is no way there's a better candy.
It's worth living.
M&Ms. I think you have to buy them in these big bags because they're just fresh. You get them in the smaller packets,
I agree.
And it's
You're right.
Just not as fresh.
If you just had one, if you just
one
knew
handful,
a generation and a half from now because of your inability to care that your grandkids will die of starvation and famine, then you don't think that's okay. You cannot stand by claim.
First of all, I'm not...
Well, who cares? I mean, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. We can engineer our way out of it.
First of all, I'm not defending my claim as a worthy approach. I'm saying this is just where I'm at right now. I just don't...
So, for instance, it's fine with you if your grandkids starve to death from global famine.
Or I don't know
it's
my
not really
grandkids.
Worth...
I don't even know who they are.
If that's your point of view, then I'll accept that.
They don't exist, so I can't put my heart there.
Matt, you agree with him. You don't. You know you do. You do not care about those people.
My grandkids?
I'm just being honest. I'm not saying it's right, but I don't know if anybody actually really cares what happens to...
Their kids? How about that?
10 generations.
You don't think
right
Poobah cares about Georgia if she has to die in a famine? He sees
her. He knows her. 10 generations right. from now, how much
Two,
do
you, one.
You care about?
Why not one?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying it's the right thing to do. No, it's just obvious.
I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying, I don't know. It's not that bizarre not to really care
no,
about
No, I understand the ontological or what, that's not the right term for it, but I understand that when you're dead, you can't, nobody's here to care. I get that. But right. if you right. put it in the near term, obviously, whatever it would take to survive is
here's how selfish and self-serving I am, and I just have to live with this and try to be better. If I can outlive all four of my kids, I'm good. Like, my life is totally fine. I did
And if I can give
I
you a multiple
to.
Choice for their history, you don't really even need to fill it in. Like, they live a pleasant life. They're tortured by a dictator and killed. They starve in a global famine.
Oh, no,
or they just
no,
live in poverty. It doesn't matter to you.
No, I would pick good things for sure.
Okay. Well, but, do you think you might could influence that?
I'm just saying when I'm dead, is I'm not going to be like, oh, my god.
I understand that. That's a non-point. But in the meantime, you do what you can to ensure that your people that follow
if I knew what that was, then yes, okay. I would do that.
Understood. But we need to make progress and solve problems. But let me tell you something that I will go against science on. Not against science on, but I'll give you an example of bad science. So I'm not here just to say the scientists are right, because it's not really even that. There's no sides here. It's just, to me, it's just progress. But there was a scientist in the 70s. His name is Paul Ehrlich. And you got to get a load of this son of a bitch.
Get a load of this.
Yeah, this makes me so mad. We'll move on. But this makes me so mad. He wrote this book called, like, The Population Bomb, I think the book he wrote. And it's just said in the 70s that he said we're overpopulated by a factor of 7 in the United States. And we needed to reduce the population by 3/4 to survive. Or we're dead, because there's overpopulation, there's not enough food. He said billions of people would die by 1991.
Whoa. Good
and he was God. Had a big book. He went out giving lectures, all this kind of stuff.
I'm sorry, will you tell me the year he predicted
this? 70-something.
Okay.
So, and he said billions would die then. And, I just think we had to call out bad science, because, you know, when we talk evolution, there's these scientists with agendas. Well, there are, and this is one of them, and this was a terrible way to think.
So what was his agenda?
Well, let me tell you, this is what puts it in good light now. Even today, that guy's alive. His name's Paul Ehrlich. He's still at it. He's still doing the same shit. He's no different than a right-winger doomsday prophet.
Wow.
It's that same person trying to do that with science, which I think is bullshit. And he says now that he doesn't have any regrets because he helped start awareness movement. This is out of what he did by trying to tell people all the wrong information and say, don't question me because I know, because I'm a scientist. And then he said what it really needed. This should make you go insane. He said what he should have done back then and what he really needed that he left out, there was mistakes, is he didn't include more women in it, and he didn't take into account racial problems in his science back then, and that's why he thinks he probably got it wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
He's just giving weird, so you know what kind of guy this is.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bad. Bad. And then this gets crazy. I'm not trying to get political. I don't care. His protege was a guy named John Holdren, and he was this is true. He was a top science advisor, or the top science advisor to Obama. And this is the guy's protege who wrote his own book that said 86 He said in 1986 that 1 billion people would die from starvation in, you know what year? 2020.
Oh, God.
He also has yet to back down from that.
Wow.
During the whole time he was a science advisor for Obama, he hasn't and still hasn't recanted the prediction that 1 billion people would die of starvation by 2 years from now.
He's just waiting. You know, he didn't have to, at least till
okay,
then.
So...
And guess what else? He's hoping for it. Told you so. Isn't that what he's wanting?
Obviously,
no, I know,
it's not.
I know, but I'm just saying,
so
this guy doesn't care about humanity.
I know.
Right.
That's the point. And he's one of the most... You know, this is a huge problem. So I'm just trying to say, the doomsday preacher on the Christian side or science side, these are so anti-progress mentalities, and this anti-human. These are people that think humans are the disease and the stain and the problem with the world. And Christians have the same problem. They just want to say, we're the sinner. It's just, this fucking thing's going to burn and I'll be delivered. This is a horrible mentality.
Yeah.
It's horrible. Are you familiar with the people that are like this?
Yes.
That's that's why I wanted to do this segment, because that drives me crazy.
That's so interesting how you just pulled from, I guess, what you would call secularists and Christians, and they're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing the exact same thing.
Now, here's the thing that really bothers me about that. You're right. Like, one of the things you said here that was the most eye-opening is, the earth doesn't care one way about humans. It's going to exist. It's arbitrary. Or whatever. Like, it. Sometimes there were no plants, then there were plants, or sometimes there was only microorganisms, and now there's, you know, higher life forms with consciousness, maybe, or whatever we're calling this life. And so that's the thing that really bothers me, is it, like, to say and imply, excuse me, good Lord, that the humans are the issue. I believe that too. I do believe humans are the issue, but in saying that they are the disgusting, bad part of the earth, the only reason those thoughts exist is because humans exist. Like, you don't
even,
that's the point.
Without humans, there's not any experience to be even discussing.
To say it, you're right. And nobody, this is the thing that bothers me the most about this. I got 2 points here, real quick. One, everybody just wants a bad guy. They just want this.
You want the bad guy to be your species?
I know, but they're not really talking about the species. They're talking about the right or the left or whatever. Now,
yeah, the rich consumers.
Yeah,
right?
It's usually packaged in this consume. Oh, we'll never do. They said that some of these people said that color TVs that use this element europium that they made cathode ray TVs out of, we're going to run out of that, and they should have just let it stay at black and white TVs because there's no way to make enough, and it's going to cause fighting, and it's going to be problems.
People tell you everything.
It's like, okay, what if we invent LCD displays? Well, they didn't.
All these horses are
dying. That's all you had to
do. The horse hooves to make glue, and that's how bad everything.
All these stuff.
Now, here's the other point I wanted to make. This is what's really interesting. There's even more precedent here, just on this podcast, to believe what you're saying, because I always do kind of feel this way. Joey, I think you might as well. You are always a little biased to take the scientist's side. Like, you always, you know, they're doing the right thing, they're doing this, and now what you're saying is the data and the information and the process is seemingly flawed, or the human aspect of it. So the humans are even fucking up this, the science side.
Oh, they do it all. I mean, they always have. I mean, it's just a problem of lack of knowledge and inability, and some nefarious characters here or there. But mostly, it's just lack of knowledge. That's really our only problem, is lack of knowledge. There's not a problem that isn't soluble with the correct knowledge. And humans are the ones that possess the ability to create, as I did in my last science segment a couple of weeks ago, to create knowledge is something that only humans can do. And it can solve every problem. There's not a problem that cannot be solved with the correct knowledge.
Why is it?
That's an interesting thought.
It's true.
Why is it?
Can you fix anything in Christianity?
I got to credit David Deutsch for at least half of these thoughts. So just so you know, it's just a book I read.
Why is it knowledge and not discover knowledge? I didn't get that the last time you talked about that. Like, what? Or is that semantics?
No, well, it's not semantics. That's kind of the point of the. Okay. If anybody wants to follow some of my steps here, they're from David Deutsch's book, The Beginning of Infinity.
That name means German.
He's a German guy, I believe.
His last name's Deutsch. That would kind of suck. That'd be like my last name is American. Joey American.
That's a cool name.
Joey American's actually pretty cool.
It's way better than Svensson.
You know what? You're my favorite pastor.
Joey American. I love it.
I listen to the Back Christian podcast. Joey American made me laugh.
Instead of trying to convince you, I'll just point you back to the previous episode that we covered that in. But humans uniquely create knowledge. We create the knowledge. That's the point of view that I hold.
That's interesting. Humans create knowledge.
I did a science segment on that two weeks ago and y'all didn't hear it. That was the whole point of it.
No, I'm telling you that I didn't buy it.
Oh, I'd have to go repeat to try to explain that. But yeah, we create knowledge by creatively.
Does that create truth?
Can we do a science segment too about why I love peanut M&Ms so much? It's bad. It's real bad.
How do you when you put them in your mouth, do you just crunch down on them, or do you like?
Sometimes I like to suck on them a little bit, and then sometimes I just chew them up.
Sometimes I like to just gently chew to get all the chocolate off, and then just have the peanut.
You know, it's really weird. Not to change the subject here, Matt. I'm going to eat some.
No, that's okay.
M&M's without the peanuts, I go, eh.
Oh, not okay. Me.
Peanuts is everything to me. Dude, let me ask you guys, though, when you encounter, I mean, I think it's just pessimism and it's just so destructive, but think about, try to explore all these personality types. Like, it's probably like the lady in church, this always this, and everything's bad. Like, everything's bad? Are you sure?
Yeah, that's a right. tough one for me to get out of.
You know what yes. I mean?
I'm getting there, but that's a tough one. I mean, here's the thing is, just like I've said before, I don't think there's any way I'm ever going to not be a Christian. I've just been a Christian for too long. I'm not going to turn. I almost feel the same way about how long humanity is going to last. I've just been thinking.
See, I don't like that point of view.
I don't blame you now.
It's a counterproductive point of view.
Sure. I'm just saying, it's hard for me to get out of that.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Let's not try.
No, but I see it as like God's doing, and I know that's it maybe even sounds archaic, but I'm just saying that I have a hard time thinking of humanity going on for billions of years.
Well, see,
I love that.
Let's just see if you guys are what I would put in. I wrote down some things I think are pessimism and optimism as I would categorize them and stuff like that. So just see which one you fit into. I've got Joey Pegg as possible pessimist from time to time, the way he talks there, but a pessimist. In the anti-human types are kind of, they're the ones that think of humans primarily as consumers and takers and leeches. You hear that thing? Yeah. They think that if you're a person, you know, the problem is we're all, or these people are, or this group is, or that group, they're users and abusers, or, which is pretty predominant on the left, everybody's an abuser. Like a, if you have power, you're an abuser. If you're a man, you're an, you know, that's nonsense. Those are little tip-offs. On the Christian side, it's like, you know, everybody's a sinner, and my 2-year-old's heart is dirty because he said poopy. But that's the same thing, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's just you know, that kind of thing. They think what we need to do, they think of sustainability as just keep everything the same and hunker down. That's not good. That's sustainability.
Sounds like Southern families.
It's not good. So much. Yeah, it does. It also sounds like California people say, we need sustainability, man.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't fly on an airplane.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm a hippie. You know, it's the same thing. And, you know, preppers would be on the right side of these anti-human people that, here we go, I'm going to live in a bunker.
Anytime you talk about Californians, it sounds like the guy on Something About Mary who faked being crippled. He said,
name's Norm.
Just Norm. Man, I'm just like you, you son of a bitch.
The anybody that predicts doomsday, whether scientifically or religiously, watch out there. That's somebody doesn't like people.
Right.
That's where that comes from. I mean, think of all the dystopic fiction. You know how easy a joke for good writers is how easy it is to write dystopian futures.
Right.
It's really easy.
Oh, yes.
Try and write a realistic one and all this other stuff's harder. It's easy to be dystopic. It's just easy. So that's pessimistic stuff. I hope that's not Joey, but some of that kind of is.
No, I don't think I...
You lean towards some doomsday and it doesn't even matter, so let's not try, though. I mean, I did hear you say that.
Yeah, I could see some of that, but definitely not people are leeches and everybody's out.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just, you know, when you hear these things, people talk about toxins and the plastic island, and they're so guilty about recycling, and, you know, they think everything nuclear is going to, you know, this is not good.
And I think I've asked you this before. You've never seen Elysium, have you?
I'm familiar with the concept, but like, I know the premise. Possible?
Can we build something out there
of course.
And just move the rich people there?
Yeah, of course. That's certainly possible.
That's where I want to go.
I mean, of course, certainly possible. Yeah, people in the International Space Station, make it bigger. Okay, that's like simple. Of course, we can do that. But we could probably do way better than that.
Yeah.
I think we will, unless asteroid comes or we have a global famine or whatever. But we may. I'm not predicting we survive. I'm just saying we should try. Can't we try?
Do you like Matt Damon?
I do like Matt Damon.
You know what's really funny about that movie, though, is all the people that's saying that they care and all this stuff. Those will be the people up there, like all the actors, all the politicians.
Of course, it will be.
It's not that all the people say they care about you and they care about these people and the marginalized and the oppressed. They ain't helping the oppressed. All those people, Matt Damon in real life, will be in that thing. I mean, that's one of he's going to be there.
And, no doubt. That global elite.
Oh, 100%. Right? Ain't going to be you and me. That ain't happening. So that's a never. I'm not even going to. Sorry, I'm trying to.
I was just going to say, optimistic people are like they. I use the word update. It's not go left or go right or go this way or go that way. Let's just update and go. Oh, well, we didn't know that. Now we know that. This changes everything.
Right.
That should happen all the time. Oh, well, this seems to change everything. Now there's a possibilities of things that seem mysterious. Now, like, oh, I guess we could figure out how the brain works. It used to be something that you thought, well, it's inside of a skull, so there's no way we're ever going to figure out how it works. Well, we're getting better at that. I mean,
you know, this is the thing why, like, I just love the lore and the idea of, like, the lore of Elon Musk. Like, he just goes,
he's not a pessimist.
I'm just going to... Nobody's building a damn electric
car. Can we try?
I'll do this. Hey, right. Well, maybe I could figure this out. Maybe I'll shoot my damn car up into space.
And now the rest of us are open to new possibilities because of what he did.
Well, damn, that's kind of cool.
That's exactly right.
I mean, it just goes, okay, I'm just going to do something.
We follow the evidence. You like to solve problems. You update your ideas. You reinvent stuff, not sustain it or restrict it or lock it down. Then what is that? Reinvent. How about that?
Doesn't some of this fall into just how people are? Some people are risk takers. Some are not.
Risk taker. Risk taking is not trying to solve extinction problems. You're gambling that something's going to happen without trying, and that God's going to fix it or some crazy thing.
Right.
The risk, mitigating risk, is what I'm talking about. All ships forward. Let's mitigate risk.
Yeah, but
let's take the least risk possible as a civilization.
Some people can't see it that way.
Okay. I don't like those people. That doesn't make sense. Problems or lack of knowledge. Think about what you would, if you had to predict the future of humanity before the Industrial Revolution, what you could have, you don't have the ability to make a prediction or worse, prophecy. So watch out when it goes from prediction into prophecy. Watch out on both sides. Watch out. Predictions, fair enough, but that's not going to last. As soon as you understand more, the prediction or it just goes away. You go, oh, okay, from now I can see. No. Now from here I can see. And you got to keep on going.
How about this? Imagine going back to pre-Industrial Revolution and showing all those people. Like you went back in time and you say, hey, listen, we're going to basically end so many diseases. You're going to be healthier. You're going to have unreal cheap food, all these different things. Now, here's the thing. Here's the bad thing. The planet's going to be about 1 degree hotter.
All right, so we're thinking kicking off an Industrial Revolution.
No way.
Hey, we better not.
Do it.
Might warm up by 1 degree. But I'm just saying,
it's hot enough out here.
But they say if we did get up to 5 and 6 degrees hotter, I mean, we're in big trouble. I mean, no doubt about it.
Because of polar ice caps?
Tons of stuff. Agriculture could just crash and there's just a global famine. I mean, like the way that plants work is very specific. You know how you can't grow something somewhere?
Right.
What if you can't grow stuff on Earth?
Yeah.
The crops that we're used to. I mean, that's not saying there's not some other solution of how to sustain people or grow things. We don't know, but we know right now if the temperature went up a few more degrees, well, it'll just end agriculture, which is what all of civilization is built on. So it'll be, I'm not saying that it extincts everybody forever, but, that would be, it's possible for billions of people to die. It is possible that we nuclear war ourselves or asteroid comes. I mean, or we can go extinct. That would be the most normal thing to happen unless we
Like Interstellar.
Get enough knowledge to escape it. That's the only way out of it. Yeah. We're going to have to solve unique problems in the future. Climate change is kind of a simple one. We kind of even know how to manipulate weather almost already. So that's like step tiny baby one. Fix the climate.
Yeah.
Control it. Figure it out.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Interstellar, that movie, that's what when you were talking about that, I was like, oh, that's what that movie, they were talking about that they couldn't grow crops, and so they're going to get out of there. And so technology is the thing that saved them. Like that's why Christians shouldn't be scared of technology.
Knowledge and progress is all I'm saying.
All technology is stuff that we, I might look at it different. You said humans create knowledge. I probably still look at it through a Christian lens of God left this here for us to find it, or created all this for us to find it and use it. Like you could take this thing over here and this thing over here, put them together, and all of a sudden you have something new, and it helps you to do this, A, B, and all that stuff. But so I do think, I still find, I guess, a Christian context in everything we're saying. Like I think there should be hope because there is that thing you can
find. Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you on
that. Now, on a side note, I could not remember the name of the movie Interstellar, and I tried to look it up, and I was like, oh, I'll just type in Matthew McConaughey space movie, and I had no idea how to spell McConaughey.
He just gave up.
I added a bunch of A's and G's and H's, and it came up. So I know Interstellar again.
But that's all I got. But I do suspect all the people that I'm frustrated with on everywhere. I think drives them is resentment. They're mad at somebody. They want to hurt somebody.
Right.
Is what I feel. It's like. Then they'll get what's coming to them, those fucking humans.
Right.
And they forget they're one of us. It's us, It's just, I don't even know what to say.
Yep. You're right. You're exactly right.
The liberals, the Republicans are going to get us. They're going to sink us all down. That's just, you see it in everything. It's just driving me crazy.
Yeah. Matt, I just want to say, I love this. This is probably one of the most interesting news that you've done because
news. I don't do the damn news.
I got damn news on my mind, and I want to do it today. But since you said that, you know what would be fun? Let's talk to our good buddy Taylor again. The BC Club Lord is what I call him.
All right, Taylor Atkins is going to join us here. We'll see if he's connected. And he runs the BC Club. He's the steward of it. He's the master. He's been with us for years and years and years, and he's our liaison, I suppose. Taylor, can you hear us? What's going on?
How you doing? Good.
It's been a while since you've been on the show, but we're glad to have you back. We used to have Taylor on semi-regularly, and if anybody's new here, they don't know that in the BC Club, Taylor runs the thing. He's the full-on, what do you call yourself? You're the full-on
director.
Director of it.
Operations.
Lord of.
Lord of the club.
Let's make him COO, Chief of Operations.
No, Lord of the club is awesome.
Lord of the club. Taylor is the
LOC.
Well, he's the full-on interface, a human interface from us to the club, to the group, to, you know, all the details of who's in, who's out, what's the drama, what's happening. But let's just go back and focus on that drama. Can you give us an update of, has there been anything fun, anything exciting? What's the report from the BC Club on the ground that we're going to share with the wider audience?
There is, I think any time that there's any kind of peace or everyone's kind of getting along in the club, you'll have that one person that is very aware of that. And I almost feel like they just go to CNN and just pick the most controversial topic and say, let's stir things up.
Yeah.
And they'll post about it and it'll, but you know, no, in all honesty, I mean, I've talked with Joey about this on the bonus episode. I think it's neat to see how, when you don't intervene and you don't try to get involved, I mean, I feel like the community kind of, I don't want to even say polices itself. It's just the dialogue in there. It's not necessarily everyone's like-minded or has the same view, but I do think because we haven't censored anything and because we haven't intervened, people are learning to dialogue with each other when they don't agree, which is kind of neat. And I don't think a lot of times you even give people the opportunity to learn how to do that because your instinct is to intervene and jump in and stop and censor. And so this experiment of us not really moderating or censoring or deciding what's in and out of the club, it's working.
That's right. Do you have a moment or two when things have gotten crazy in there, especially in, you know, I think that I would be optimistic, maybe even culture at large, if there was a peak moment of people acting crazy online. I know there's been a lot of tensions around the globe and everything, but there were some moments, at least in our recent past in the BC Club, where you had to have thought, we really do need to moderate. We maybe should consider taking control, things like that. Did you have suspicions? Did you feel that way at a few points recently?
Not recently. I mean, I think in the past year, I think I've even gotten to the point where I've emailed y'all and said, look, I know our stance is to not step in, but my gosh, we got to do something. Yeah. I mean, but,
and all three of us we're good.
But I've told Joey, you know, when it gets to that point, right at that point where I'm like, I just don't think we can not do anything anymore, that's usually the point where it seems to correct itself.
Yes.
It's usually the point where people kind of realize, I think a lot of people step back and say, you know, what we don't like about the traditional church culture, what we don't like about, you know, the progressivism that says, you know, you can't, it's those two ends of the spectrum where it's like, well, that's why people enjoy, I think, what Bad Christian's doing is because we're becoming the thing that we don't like.
Well, let me point out, like, we have a major delay, by the way. I apologize. You want to finish your thought?
No, that was it.
Okay, cool. Like, it seems like a simple observation that is just so easy to make is, all right, so think of two different ways that could have panned out. One way, Taylor steps in and says, hey, knock it off. This is foolishness. And that person, you know, keeps going. So Taylor kicks him out of the Facebook club. Conversation's over. That person feels alienated. He's like, wow, I was just goofing around, or I was just being honest, or whatever the case is. He's like, that sucks how that happened. That's one option. The second option is what happened. You just we let it go and people talked about it. That person felt heard, understood, and was corrected.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems like an obvious choice.
No, it's not obvious at all. But the really other sinister thing that happens is when you introduce moderators, those become people that have some power, and then everybody else starts to think of the moderators as people with power and of influence instead of equal, and then they start playing the games to optimize. I can do up to this or stay within the rules, and then the people with the power start. And I've seen it unfold in many other online groups. That gets to be a gross thing. And it's just like in way I think of parenting. I let my daughters get really crazy on the playground and into a real tension with another kid, and I do not step in. And the other parents like to, but I let it go, because at that moment when it's like, what's about to happen? That's the real moment where something can be learned or grown or changed. And I'd say overall, the club now, even when people go in with the real strong pot stirring posts, these people know each other, there's enough context, and it doesn't really get as crazy. People understand, and I think things have been going super smooth lately. And thank you for holding the line there, Taylor.
Well, and let's point out that this happens 3 or 4 times a year. I mean, it's not the norm. So I do want to kind of segue into, you know, some of the positives about the club, which is really neat and was just brought to my attention. Everyone had such a great time at BC Con, and I think we've had people say, hey, we should do 4 or 5 BC Cons a year. And obviously that's not what we want to do, but because we're not doing that, a group of BC Club members have taken it upon themselves to organize, the event is called BCX Meetup X St. Louis 18.
All right.
That's
awesome.
One of the BC Clubbers, described it to me as, you know, you have TED Talks and then you have TEDx. And so this is our BC Con X. It's in St. Louis. It's at the end of July right now. According to the group, there's 67 people. It looks like are going or interested in going. And so that's something that we have not had any hand in, creating, planning, organizing. It's just BC Club folks that in that community. None of these folks, for the most part, have known each other prior to getting into the BC Club. And
Taylor, can you pass on to them for everybody to chip in $20 though and send it to Bad Christian? We'll give them the address. I mean,
we had to middleman that somehow.
Tax.
Yeah. No,
use our name.
Let me say this about that is that is, you know. That makes me think, man, maybe we should have had an event or maybe we should have been there. But as soon as that thought comes out of my mouth, I remember a general principle of Bad Christian is we don't want to control shit. Right. We don't. I mean, we could have gone there and had an event or made money or made who knows, but who cares? If people can self-organize and self-actualize and do stuff and do real community and do real life and actually do it without us, that's one of the biggest achievements I could say we've had, is that stuff can happen without going through the gurus or the church system or the proprietary software. Like, just let it go. You create stuff, put it out there, let people get together and let them do it. That is, I mean, I'm just super thrilled to hear that. I hope they don't try to profit off of it or not. You know what I mean? Keep it organic. That's great. I'm thrilled about that.
It sounds like they're just getting Airbnbs, and I mean, they're all just, it's people that did not know each other prior to getting in the BC Club that have established friendships, a lot of them in Nashville at BC Con, but I think some of them just through the Facebook group, and they want to get together. They want to hang out and talk about the things that we're talking about and kind of interact in real life as much as they do in the Facebook community. So I would give a little plug, the event's posted in the BC Club Facebook group. So that's another reason to join up if you're interested in heading out. But it is at the end of July, so there's plenty of time if anyone wants to still make it out to St. Louis.
Yeah, join the club and do it.
I promise them I'd plug it, yeah.
You're not going to go, are you?
I cannot. No, I will be in North Carolina, actually, that time.
Well, you know, I do have one concern, and that is the liability of our name. You know, that they get busted with some big party or make it into a sex cult or a drug ring or something. And
that's pretty cool,
though. That'd be the only thing I'd be worried about. But even still, we got to go for it.
I still think that's pretty cool. Like, if they rob a bank or do something horrific, that'd just be like, man, we did it.
Turn into a crime ring.
If my legacy is I started this thing and it became infamous, that'd still be pretty phenomenal. Like, I just like it that one of my biggest goals for this was always like, can we make this not just about us three? You know what I mean? Like that's the thing I never wanted this to be, because that's what the danger always was with church or organizations or businesses, whatever. It's always about this head and this control. And to be more loose, a little more free, it does seem a little scary or whatever, but like I'm really not. Like I it's okay. People can – the fact that that all these folks would want to even use the name Bad Christian as a part of what they're doing is just such an honor to me. Like, and it's just they're a part of it just as much as us. Like, they're doing a BC get-together that has nothing to do with us three, and also we get to be a part of it, hear it. They get to – I mean, everything about that is, like, really real organic, like you said. It's so cool.
Yeah, that's – yeah, it really is. And, Taylor, do you have a – do you want to tell people how to join? Or, you know, you hear us do these calls for people to join the BC Club. I'll let you do it this time.
You can go to www.thebcclub.com. Really, it's a neat community that we have in the BC Club Facebook group. We do try to also give out some experiences, some engagement opportunities. There's some physical perks when we release stuff through Bad Christian. But I think I've talked to you, Matt, about this. I think it's just about, you know, supporting the BC Club allows us to grow. I talked with Joey about this on the bonus episode, that there's a lot more that we would like to do in the future. And obviously, you know, we're not a nonprofit. This isn't your tithe. We're not asking you to make a donation. We're just asking you to support something that you enjoy, that you consume, and that the more support we have, the more we can do.
Yep. And I'd go farther than that and say you will get more out of it. You will personally gain a lot more than paying $7 a month or whatever it is by joining a real community. What if you make one friend in real life in St. Louis? $7?
Right.
I think it's a decent market value for people that want to connect. I think it's fun. I think it's awesome. And again, it's not a nonprofit, but yeah, it all works together, super awesome.
And I've seen people in the Facebook group come on there and post and share things that they've admitted, I can't share this with my friends and the friends of my church. I can't even share this on my personal Facebook page. I can only come here to share this because you guys are kind of coming from a similar place. And I think that's pretty neat.
Well, thank you, Taylor. You steward our club super well. And you know, you deserve a ton of credit for that thing being stable, running smoothly, and continuing to grow. So thank you, Taylor.
Thanks, guys.
Good seeing you, man.
Peace.
Man, Taylor's awesome. I love that he's running the BC Club. I almost couldn't trust somebody more, but... Speaking of trust, are y'all at all worried? Like, what if seriously something unbelievable happens where like there is an actual BC orgy? I mean, Joey, what would you tell people? Could you tell people, hey, you know, people that you work with, they listen to the podcast, they got together.
I would totally disown them. I would say, we can't rogue, help what those guys do.
Rogue group.
We have nothing to do with that. Well, you think I can control all of our listeners? Are you crazy?
No, I suppose that. But nonetheless, we do authorize all this stuff to some degree. So, I mean, it is a roving experiment that we do assume the risk that the whole thing could come grinding to a halt at any point. Yeah. I accept that. I mean, I really do accept that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree.
I'm not willing to change what we would do or wouldn't do.
No.
And we'll see. I think this whole podcast is an experiment. An experiment. What happens if we talk together, let people hear it, make ourselves say things we wouldn't say that other people won't say, let other people do things and don't control it. It really is a meta experiment to do this. So, and it can fail.
So given those lenses, think about Reva's life. And when she wakes up every morning not knowing how stable her job is.
Right.
Like, this is her full-time job, right. And we're talking about it. It's an experiment.
Reba wakes up every morning going, uh-oh, if there's an orgy today, my job is gone.
What's up, my friends? This is Devin here. I just want to come to you today just to say happy 4th of July, Independence Day, whatever you want to call it. It's an amazing day that we as Americans get to celebrate our freedom, our independence from that bitch of a country, England. I'm totally kidding. I love England, but you know, back in the day, it was kind of some tension. So, you know, we kind of separated ourselves. So whatever, we're past all that. Regardless, we get to celebrate our freedom and independence, and it's a great day for all of us. We get to shoot fireworks, be as redneck as possible, and not only that, it led to one of the greatest action movies of all time. Can I get an amen? Independence Day. Wow. But anyway, the reason I wanted to talk to you today is this. We've got this company called BC Supply, and recently we decided to converge with the Bad Christian Store to house everything that we have, from the BC Pod to BC Music to Supply to BC Words to every single thing that we've got. You can find it on BC Supply. And if you go there for the next couple of days on July 3rd and July 4th, you can get 20% off with code FOURTH. That's FOURTH. Put that code in when you're checking out and you'll see 20% fly off, and you're going to be happy celebrating more than you ever have before. So go to bc.supply, check out what we got, put yourself in code FOURTH, and get 20% off.